Good to be in church today. Hey, I don't know what you've taken part of so far this weekend. We had a really great Good Friday service citywide. We were at Isfeld Secondary School, and it was a really great time, really fun time. Good Friday is all about looking to the cross and recognizing Jesus died for us. And then Sunday gets to be about the fact that he has risen. And then in between those two, yesterday we had this egg scramble at Krebs Park just over there. We invite all of our neighbors out and say, come on out. We just want to love you and share the life of Jesus with you. We had 15,000 candies on the field in the park. That's a lot of candies. If you'll remember, that would mean that if Kendall was doing the announcements again, she'd say, we only need minus 3,000. Because we were 3,000 over what we even thought we should have. So it was fun. I was pouring out candy thinking, they're not going to eat all these. But this year was good because my son finally got it. This was our third year at the Easter egg scramble. And the first year was kind of like, we cut the ribbon and said, go, you know, go 0 to 3-year-olds or 0 to 3-year-olds, go, run. And he was like, brushing his long mullet at the time. He had a serious mullet at the time. And he's just like doing nothing, like, get the candy already. And so last year, we felt like he had made progress because he was looking, and he sort of looks like he's chomping at the bit to go. Finally, we cut the ribbon, and he runs in, and then he gets very selective. Well, if you've been there, you know there's candy everywhere. And he's like, na, 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 na. And he got his one, and he turns around, he's like, we're like, one is you failed if you only get one, son. Get back in there, you know, go get some more. He has learned to love candy because this time he just went crazy. But we also, we went out the other day actually for some candy. Our family has something, a lot of Friday nights we do something called family movie night where it's just us and we get some candy and do a movie and just hang out together. And we went out to the store and he was allowed to pick any candy he wanted. And so we showed up to the store, we look at all the things, and he finds this one that he likes. He doesn't actually know what it is, he just knows that there's a pig on the package. And so he's like, awesome, this is cool. It wasn't beef jerky, there he is, look at that little pig. And he was just pumped to get this. He's like, I want this one, Dad. Okay, son, we'll take it. It's just these little chocolate things. So we take it to the counter, and the lady says, oh, yeah, I got some chocolates. He goes, yeah. And she goes, do you like pigs? He goes, I love pigs. She says, well, why do you like pigs? And he says, because Jesus is the best. Like, I don't know what he just, I don't know what to do with this guy, I don't know. Do you want to come to the Easter service, though? So I'm like, what is going on? You know, sometimes you look at a story and you think, there's just something missing, I think. Like, everything else worked out until, I don't know what even that means, Hardy. Or Hardy also, he had this, he's created this alias that he sometimes is. There was this one night where we were calling him for dinner, Hardy, come for dinner. He wasn't coming. That's a pretty normal thing in our house. Hardy, come for dinner. Not listening. Also normal. Hardy, come on, come on. Where are you, Hardy? We go into his room. I say, Hardy, come on, let's go. It's time for dinner. We've been calling you. It's time to go. He goes, I'm not Hardy. Said, well, who are you? He says, I'm Big Jack. He's Big Jack more than he is Hardy these days. I said, Big Jack, do you want to come for dinner? I find out that he's actually decided his mom is his grandma, and his sister Isabella is actually his sister, and his sister Nola is his puppy. And I said, come on, come for dinner. It's time to go for dinner. He goes, oh, I'm Big Jack. I said, well, Big Jack, I'm still your dad. He goes, no, you're my horsey. So I walked him to dinner. But we sort of wonder, like, where did this Big Jack come from? We tried to figure out all his TV shows. Like, how do we go to that TV show and undo what has been done to our son that made him become Big Jack? And so we're trying to figure it all out. What are we supposed to do with this boy? And we couldn't find Big Jack anywhere. We were like, where is Big Jack coming from? There's sometimes in your story, there's just something missing. You can't figure out. There's just something that doesn't put it all together for you. It doesn't just make sense to you. Sometimes it's just a little piece. I think it's necessary on Easter to recognize that if Jesus isn't in your life, Jesus is the thing that makes things make sense for you. He makes sense of your story. That you may be walking through all sorts of different things, and you may be in certain circumstances. Maybe you come to church even on this Easter Sunday because you're dealing with a lot of questions or a lot of pain maybe, or you're walking through a lot of stuff going on and circumstances and challenges that you're dealing with, and you're trying to make sense of the story, and you're trying to make it all fall into peace. And sometimes it's not going to fall into peace, but all you need is to add Jesus, and he makes sense of your story. Today we're going to actually hear a testimony in a little bit of a guy who has been walking through cancer and is currently in cancer treatment, and he got baptized in the first service, and he says, I am blessed with my health. And I think, what is that? He's walking through cancer currently. Right now he's battling this challenge. But I chatted with him after, and he says, it's just exactly what you said, Pastor, that when Jesus came into my life, it just made sense. And you say, well, how can it make sense for a young man like that to be battling cancer with his young family? How does it make sense? Just Jesus. Jesus makes sense of your story. That's what Easter's about. We're going to look at two stories today in the Bible. One is from Luke 24. And this is both stories happened pretty soon after Jesus has died and been resurrected. But this one happens on the day that he's been resurrected from the day, resurrected from the dead, on the day that the tomb is empty. And so if you'll join me, we're going to look at Luke 24, verse 17 to start. This is Jesus, by the way, walking up to two disciples who are walking down the road. And they expected Jesus to have been the one who saved them. And they're defeated and deflated because God, Jesus, has now died on the cross. Verse 17, Jesus walks up to them and says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? I like Jesus' jovial kind of attitude sometimes. Hey guys, what are you chatting about here? And he just walks up to them and just says, what's going on? Where are you at? They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? Oh, what things, Jesus says. Do tell. Let me know. Maybe I haven't. So why don't you let me know what's going on? It says that Jesus disguised himself to these guys, that they actually couldn't tell that this was Jesus. It's just a guy. Maybe it was their circumstances that disguised him from them. Maybe it was that they had their heads so downcast and they were so broken that they couldn't see him. But there they are, and Jesus says, tell me what's going on. They said, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So these guys walking down the road, these are guys who walked with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, believed that Jesus was going to be the one who would save them. Like these were the guys who had the most hope. And here they are walking down the road. Now they had heard from Jesus himself, as well as the prophets that Jesus spoke about, that the Savior who would come would die, but on the third day he would rise. This was going to happen. They knew it. Jesus had told them, just so you know, I am going going to die. On the third day, I will rise. Well, here they are depressed because they're walking along and they say, I can't believe Jesus died. I thought he was going to save us. I can't believe it. This is so sad. And what's more, his body's not even in the grave. Like, what? Well, why is his body not in the grave? He rose. But here they are, people who knew Jesus, who couldn't put it together for themselves. They're sad that Jesus is exactly where he said he would be, not dead, because they are so faithless that they can't even believe that he might have risen. They think he must have been stolen. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village of which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us in the road and opened the scripture to us?" So they go and have a meal with Jesus, who they don't recognize as Jesus. They explain all the stuff that's gone on. The guy who we thought was going to save us died, and then he was supposed to rise, but I guess he won't because he's not in the tomb, and so we can't find him. And so they're like, "Oh, this is such a sad day, but anyways, do you want to come and eat a meal with us?" Jesus says, "Yes, I will." And all of a sudden, they recognize him, and he disappears. Crazy how that happened. Just this wild story takes place, and then they start saying, "Wait. There was something, looking back, there was something when we were walking on the road. There was something burning in my heart. I could feel it. I knew it. I was just too afraid to say it, or I didn't want to. I thought it was kind of weird, or I was sort of, but there was something burning within me when we were with that guy." Often when Jesus is calling you into relationship with him, you feel this burning. You feel this something twirling in your stomach. You feel something coming up. Maybe sit in a church service like this on an Easter Sunday, and there's just something going on that you can't really explain. And you come here, and you just try to explain it away, or else maybe you ask for someone else to explain it to you because the story isn't making sense to you. And why am I feeling this way? And in lots of situations, you're just waiting. You just need to answer the call that Jesus is saying, "Come. Walk with me. Decide. Decide to follow me. I'm stirring it up in your heart. I'm giving you a passion. I'm giving you something. You can't recognize it because you haven't walked it out. But decide to follow me, and you'll know me. Your story will make sense when Jesus enters it." This is how it works. Second story I want to look at is this one from Acts. It's another story on a road. It's another story of a guy who does a cool disappearing act. That's pretty awesome in Scripture. And it's soon after the resurrection has taken place, and now the disciples are sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus with everyone around, and they're telling people about what's gone on and what's still going on. And as they're doing so, the government at the time, or the leaders of the religious people at the time, are pushing them out of town. And all of a sudden, they're spread out everywhere, but still sharing the gospel with people. And there's this moment in the guy named Philip's life, where it says in Acts 8, 26, verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship." So Philip finds a guy who had actually just gone to Jerusalem to worship. We're going to find out in a second that he's still on this search to figure out something. Though he worships, there's still something missing in him. Probably that same thing that the guys on the road to Emmaus had, that burning within them. Yeah, we go and we worship, but there's something missing. There's something not there. Maybe you come to church for a long time and you worship and you sing with us and you join us and you enjoy the relationship and you like the coffee and it's a nice time and then you go home. But there's something in you still that you're just wondering if you're missing something. Your story hasn't come fully together yet. You haven't fully recognized your purpose yet, maybe. You haven't fully understood where things are at for you yet. You haven't fully identified how you can walk through the current challenges in your life. He's just finished worshiping. And on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" It says, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Philip takes him from right there. He says, this is where you're confused. This is where you don't get it. This is where everything hasn't come together yet for you. I need to tell you that it's all about one thing, so I'll meet you right where you're at, and we'll walk this journey until finally I've gotten to the place where then you find out that it's Jesus that that's talking about, and that eunuch, once you have Jesus in your life, all of a sudden it'll start to make sense. Even if you're walking through battling a terminal illness, it will all make sense. Even if you're walking through rejection, it will all make sense. Even if you're walking through the pain of debt, it'll all make sense. Even if you feel like you've been abandoned, it will all make sense. Even if you're trying to get out of addiction and you keep falling back in, it will all make sense. When you welcome Jesus into your life, you will find the missing piece. It is Him, Jesus, that makes it all make sense. And so He meets the eunuch where he's at and says, "Let me make sense of this simply by telling you about Jesus." Says when they came up to the water, as they traveled along the road, as they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. Kind of crazy, these two stories, right? Jesus on the road to Emmaus. "Hey, we recognize you, Jesus. Bye-bye." And he goes away. Philip, now with this eunuch, shows up, has a meaningful discussion, baptizes him, and then he's gone. Kind of crazy what's going on with the people of God at this point. It's wild to see what's happening. There's power and there's life and there's so much that's taking place as they share the gospel with people. But in both stories, we see the same thing. You've got questions, you've got challenge, you've got difficulty, you can't understand life, you can't figure out how to put all the pieces together. And in both situations, they realize we were missing a piece all along. It was Jesus. We needed to put that piece in and everything would make sense. We needed to put that piece in and our purpose would start to become clearer. Our identity would start to become clearer. Our suffering would start to become clearer. We could understand it again. We would understand it in a new way. And they did. And the eunuch, he said, "Okay, well, it's time for me to get baptized then." Today there's some people that have chosen to get baptized. They've planned it with us, and they've walked through a process. We like when we get to do that with people, and we can get their video, their testimony on video, and share it with the church. But today, some of you maybe are going to feel like this eunuch. Maybe you'll feel like these guys on the road to Emmaus, where you can sort of recognize that actually Jesus has been walking alongside of you for a while, and you haven't really understood it. you haven't understood what that meant, and you've had this burning in you, or like this eunuch, even though you've been trying to worship and trying to do these things, there's just been something missing, and you still have questions, and you're still wondering, and there's just something there that you wish would complete your story. Jesus is what makes sense of your story. Jesus is the one that will show you how to walk this out. Jesus is the one that will all of a sudden give you what you need, that purpose that you need, so that even a man who's walking through cancer treatment right now can say, I'm blessed with my health. There's something about that. There's something about that. So today, you maybe need to ask the same question the eunuch asked. Why not get baptized right here? Why not just go for it right here? All this baptism is about is deciding to follow Jesus. You decide to follow Jesus, we see in Scripture. You decide to follow Jesus instead of your own ways. You decide to welcome him in and make sense of your story. You decide to commit your life to him. You make that decision, and the next step is baptism. It doesn't have to happen 5 years down the road once you're really sure you made the decision and then you followed through and you did the right things and you acted properly. Because the good news is you actually won't act properly right away. All of us have a journey. All of us have to walk through some things. If you don't believe me, come back next week for Road to Recovery. We'll keep walking through the sermon series that all of us have hurts and habits and hang-ups that we're trying to figure out. But that doesn't mean that right now isn't the moment you should jump in and get baptized. If you believe in Jesus and you want to make him Lord of your life, today is the day to get baptized. If you've been part of the church for a long time and you haven't figured out what to do, and you just sort of been holding up for one reason or another, and you haven't been baptized, today is the day to get baptized. We have shirts for you that say, I have decided, so you can match our sign. And we have shorts in the free store. If we have to run back and get you some, we'll get you some. Or you can be like someone from our last baptism service who jumped in their jeans and got baptized. You can do it. We want to open it up. So we're going to show some testimony videos in a second. And when we do, I'm going to hand these out. These are signs that Pastor Joel made for us this morning that are going to be cheering for people. This one says, you have decided. This one simply says, yay. He is risen. Good. Good job. You're paying attention. That's good. Way to go. Baptism is about us celebrating what God has done in someone's heart, what God has done in someone's life. It doesn't finish the work, you know. Someone all of a sudden decides to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean that if they don't get baptized, they're not saved. Like that's not what we believe here. But we really like when people get baptized so that we together can say, look at what's going on. Look at what Jesus is doing. He still changes lives. He's still making a difference. He's still impacting people. And we love celebrating that. And so that's why we've made signs so that when people come out, they know that they're part of our family. They know that we're going to be behind them, that we're going to try to cheer them on. We're going to push them along. And we're going to walk alongside them and stumble our way through trying to see Jesus in greater ways in our life. But we're going to put the last piece of the puzzle, first piece of the puzzle and the last piece of the puzzle that makes sense of everything in your life. I like this one. This is living now. This is living now. So, right now, we've got some baptism people who've planned, one or two in this service, who have planned to be baptized, and you'll see them in the testimony video. And then we have some, maybe, who today are saying, this is my day. I need to do this. I need to step into this. If that's you, Pastor George and Pastor Joel are just out that way in the lobby. They would love to meet you, get a shirt on you, celebrate with you, tell you about what it looks like to give your life to Jesus, pray with you, and then help us all to celebrate with you in the waters of baptism today. And when these people come out of water, they're going to have a very warm welcome from us. We're going to cheer. Our worship team is going to be playing music. I'm going to hand some signs around, and then I've got a whole bunch of noisemakers that we're just going to party. We're just going to celebrate that. And we're going to sing the song, I Have Decided, to celebrate the decisions that are being made here, now, today, in Jesus' name. Is that all right? All right. If today you say, I need to get baptized, head on out to the lobby. The rest of us, let's check out this video.